But I like to be a 360 degrees pastor. I want to teach you sound doctrine. Every part of the Bible is important, and I'm committed to teaching everything. I was saying to someone, I said, any time that God wants to move your life forward, you know what he will do to you? He will give you his word. Hello? God's word is this inside information you need to move forward. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people come and, you know, they pray and say, Father, your power, I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. Yeah? All those are just, you know, when Jesus was in the world, he was teaching, and so many people had gathered, and they were far away from the town. And it was evening time, and the people were hungry, and there was no food. So Jesus said, what do you have? That's what God always asks you. He said, what do you have? What you have may be little, but it's not nothing. Hallelujah. There is always a seed that God places in your life that God can multiply if you release it. Hallelujah. He said, what do you have? He said, well, we have just a boy. That's a minor. And he has what? 5 loaves. And what? 2 fishes. Hallelujah. You know, some days ago, during Easter, there was a movie, a Jesus movie for kids. And my son watched this movie, and I watched it with him. And they showed this part, story I'm explaining to you. And then they showed how Jesus prayed over it, and how the 5 loaves became many loaves, and the 2 fishes became many fishes. But that's not what happened. Hallelujah. That's just a modern translation. Let me tell you exactly how the Bible says it. Jesus took the bread. He blessed it and he broke it into pieces. He took the fish, blessed it, and he what? Broke it into pieces. As at that point, it was still 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but in pieces. Hallelujah. Sometimes, when you release your faith, yeah, when you take a step of faith, it looks like as if your life is going to go into pieces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God wanted to save the world, the Savior first had to die and go to hell before he could save. Hallelujah. Bible says, even a corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. Yeah? The best he can do is go to the digestive system. Hallelujah. But when it falls down and dies, what happens? It will multiply. So as they were sharing these 5 loaves and 2 fishes in broken pieces, it multiplied. Hallelujah. And at the end, they gathered how many? 12 baskets of fragments. Hallelujah. That's how God works. Hallelujah. That's how God works. So anytime that God wants to work in your life, he will give you an instruction. It's up to you to obey it. If you like, don't. God has done his part. Like we said last week, the last time our faith works free, God is always on. Hallelujah. God is not looking to bless you. He has already blessed you. It's a connection problem or a delivery problem. It's not a God problem. He said, oh God, as I'm traveling now, be with me. He said, I will never leave you or forsake. He is with you. It's not for you to now affirm it. I say, Father, thank you. As I'm going my way now, thank you because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they do what? They comfort me. Hallelujah. God is immutable. He never changes his mind. Nothing ever occurs to God. And so it occurred to God that maybe he shouldn't have given Fernando, you know, a black shirt. Maybe he should have given a yellow shirt. Nothing ever occurs to God. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's Alpha and the beginning and the end. God does not live within time. He lives outside of time. He observes time from outside. Hallelujah. So when God gives his word, it is settled. It is how you connect that determines what you get. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's how you connect that determines what you get. And that's where faith comes in. Faith is your connection to God. Faith is also your delivery from God. Because God is a spirit. And you also, you are a spirit. But unfortunately, right now, you are still bounded in what? Your body. Did you realize that? That's why if you want to go to the United States, what do you need to do? Get the what? You get a visa if you need one. Then what else do? You book a flight. You can't fly yet. Do you understand? Don't try. Are you with me? You're a spirit, but you are still bounded in a mortal body. But the time is coming when God will change your body to immortal. Then you will no longer be bounded. You can be in UK 1 minute, in the next microsecond, you are in US. Hallelujah. That's why they say it disappeared. You move faster than the speed of light. Hallelujah. Because that immortal body is no longer bounded. That's why the Bible says, we shall be changed. Say to yourself, I will be changed. Something to look forward to. Awesome glory. Hallelujah. You know, don't just think that, you know, sometimes I pity, when I look at some people, I pity them. Because they live as if this is the only life they have to live. They are trying to enjoy everything they can enjoy in this world, as if this is the only world that exists. Yeah? They want to go to heaven, but they want to make sure they enjoy everything on earth. Heaven means nothing to them. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. The final destination of believers is heaven on earth. In fact, actually, after the 7 years of tribulation, Jesus Christ will come back, and we will come with him and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. This one. Before God destroys this earth, we will reign with him for 1,000 years. We'll be ruling. We will be the kings. All those who didn't believe, we will rule over them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, behold, the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints. Hallelujah. So there is a world to come. There is much more glorious than the one we are in. Hallelujah. But what we experience this life is a foretaste. Everybody say foretaste. Hallelujah. Faith is what enables you to live in the realities of heaven on earth. Hallelujah. If you live by faith, you can experience the reality of heaven now as a foretaste. Hallelujah. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when I talk about the new world, that's hope. But the substance for now is what? Faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. Someone says, come to me and say, oh, what do you mean? You know, how do we know there's a real heaven? How do we even know that God exists? You know my answer? Look at my life. You will soon see that God is real. Hallelujah. That's why I say you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Your life should be evidence that God exists. Your life should be evidence that heaven is real. Hallelujah. Now, if someone wants to know that God exists, let them mess with me. Hallelujah. They will know that what? God exists. Hallelujah. Even if they are doubting, they will know. They will run away. Hallelujah. Then they will come back and repent. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that he said he has laid in Zion a precious stone. You see, I'm reading from Matthew. No, don't open, but I need to teach you this. Holy Spirit is speaking. He said, anybody that falls upon this stone, yeah, will be broken in pieces. But that's still level one. So that means somebody who is trying to, imagine somebody is trying to destroy, attack me now and destroy me. They will what? They will be broken in pieces. But there's a higher level. He said, but now anyone this stone falls upon will be grinded to powder. Means that, imagine that I now decide that, oh, this person is a problem. And I start praying. Hallelujah. They will know that God exists. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Now open your Bible to Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. Yes, I always like people to read in this church. I believe in that participation. keeps you engaged, keeps you alert, keeps your heart open. Romans chapter 1, verse 17.
Romans chapter 1, verse 17. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's have another version. Just another shade of meaning. Yes. Yes. King James, New King James, or any other version. Yes, Romans chapter 1, verse 17.
Okay. Amplify. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God described is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to faith, as it is written, the yes. man...
Go on.
As it is written, the man who... True faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith.
By faith. Amen. Thank you. That's amplified version. The simple summary there, if you read it from King James or New King James, it says the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Faith is not something you do when you have problem alone. Are you with me? Faith is how you live the Christian life. You have to live by faith. And Hebrews 11 tells you, without faith, it is what? I don't know. I know you read it, but you don't understand the seriousness of that statement. It doesn't matter any other thing you do. Without faith, you can't please God. Because every time God is trying to reach out to you, you will block him off. You use your mind and your reasoning. You know you are smart, very smart, I know. But now you will reason it out and you block God off. Hallelujah. God is trying to help you, but you will block him off because you are smart. Hallelujah. You've calculated it better. But without faith, you cannot please God. Hallelujah. You can't. It's impossible. No matter how hard you try, you can't. That's the only way to please God is to receive what God has said and believe it and begin to cooperate with God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the old story of life. The old story of life is simple. God gives you a free will. Then God gives you his word. He now wants you to voluntarily submit yourself to him. That's the old story of life. That's why you are here. Your life is a test. Your life is a test. The value of your life is a test. Everything you do, every word you speak, every action you make, you are being tested. How you live your life now determines how your life will be forever. Hallelujah. You have free will and you have the word of God. Yeah? God gives you enough evidence for you to understand that he's a good God. God gives you enough evidence for you to understand that he's a great God. God gives you enough evidence for you to understand that his word is true. He expects you to be wise enough to now say, God, because you are so good, because you are so righteous, because you are so great, you know what? I want to just follow you and do exactly what you want me to do. Because I trust you now. Hallelujah. If I trust God, then I don't have any problem with doing what God tells me to do. Hallelujah. Because God has my best interest at heart. If I can just believe that. Hallelujah. If I can believe that everything I ever needed in life to make the most of my life is in God. I don't need to visit the devil. Hallelujah. God is enough. Say to yourself, say, El Shaddai. The God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. God is enough for me. Everything I want, everything I need is in God. Hallelujah. If God cannot give me, yeah, then I don't want it. Hello? I said, if God cannot give me, then I don't what? Want it. You know why? Because anything I can't get from God is not certified as good. If it seems good, it only seems good. It's not good. Because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Father of light, in whom there is no shadow, no variableness of turning, no darkness in him at all. Hallelujah. That means that what God gives me, yeah, there's no shadow. Hallelujah. I can enjoy it with stability and security. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the topic of the day. James chapter 2, how faith works. Someone read for me James chapter 2, read verse 14 to 19. How faith works, part 4. James 2, 14 to 19. Someone who has not, read today. James 2, 14 to 19. Yes, Sister Agnes. Please follow in your Bible. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 19. A question is coming very soon. Yes?
What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Mm. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with deeds. You believe that there is one God.
You believe that there's what?
One God.
One God?
Good. Even
good for you. Yes?
Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
And they shudder. They tremble. Okay. I'm going to ask my question, but before that, let me just quickly expatiate on that last statement. No, let me not. I'll come back to it. Question. What is the difference between a living faith and a dead faith? Yeah? They are both faith, but one is living. It can produce results. One is dead. It can achieve no results. What is the difference between a living faith and a dead faith? Let's have like three answers. Ready?
Yeah, living faith is when it is accompanied with deeds. Why dead? You just believing, just having the faith, no deeds.
Just believing. Okay. Thank you, Daddy. That's in the right direction. Yes. Anybody want to, color, put some extra color or flesh to that? It's in the right direction, of course. What is the difference between a living faith and a dead faith? And by definition, a living faith is the faith that will produce results for you. A dead faith is a faith that, produces no result. Or is all type of faith the same?
Difference between a living and dead is a dead. I'll start with living. A living faith is acting upon something that you hear. So let's say I heard about something, can I act upon it? So that's it. So that will produce result. But a dead faith is I hear something, I believe it, but then I wouldn't give any action to it.
Right direction, very right. Yes, one more. Sister Pamela.
I'd probably say the difference is consistency. I think living faith is more like a lifestyle whereby it's a constant thing, and a dead faith maybe only works when you want something, so you just ask for that specific thing.
Amen. Okay, let's have one more answer. Thank you. That's also in the right direction. A lifestyle, consistency. Yes, one more.
Right. Living faith has to do with what you have faith in God in this instance, and it's backed by action, it's backed by desires, it's backed by belief. A dead faith is someone, for example, who wants to win lotto, you don't buy a lottery ticket, so it's dead, it's not backed up, there's no substance.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think you said it all. The difference between a living faith and a dead faith is that a living faith is backed by corresponding actions. If you say you have faith and you don't back it up with corresponding actions, that faith is dead. It cannot save you. Hallelujah. So, for example, some people, in this country, there are many people that call themselves atheists. They are proud atheists. So, I don't believe in God. Okay. You know why people are atheists? They are self-sufficient. I don't need God. That's why they are eating. When they need God, when they are in disaster, they say, oh my God, why did you allow it? They are angry with God, they don't believe in. You know, there's a worldly song like that on the radio. Say, I'm praying to a God I don't believe in. Why are you praying? Hallelujah. You see, one thing you don't understand is that don't just be happy with yourself and say, after all, I believe in God. I know that people like that say, well, I'm not an atheist. I may not be coming to church, but I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. That itself cannot save you. You know why? The devil believes in God. Can you imagine? That's what James 2:19 says. He said, even the devils believe and they shudder. Hallelujah. The reason why they believe, but they still remain devils. You know why? Because their faith is not backed up by any action, any corresponding action. Are you with me? Faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's not alive. And it can produce no results. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's just go through some definitions there. Faith works through corresponding actions. So another definition, I gave you one definition of faith before. I said faith is confidence to live in the realities of God's word. That's my definition, yeah? But I want to give you another one today. Faith is acting on God's word. Hallelujah. For example, let's assume that I believe in Jesus. And I've made Jesus my Lord and Savior. And I say I'm born again. Yeah? I say I'm born again. Then, that's all. Sunday. Do you find me in church? No. When they are praying, do you find me praying? Bible study. I know I have 3 Bibles under my pillow. But I never open them to study. Are you with me? Now I'm at my workplace and people are talking about Jesus. I keep quiet. And so what's your opinion? I said, I don't have any opinion. Are you with me? Yeah? I do nothing. I say nothing. Yeah? That faith is dead. If I die like that, I'm not going to heaven. Hallelujah. Because faith without corresponding actions is what? Is dead. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says actually that if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, is not enough. What do you have to do next? You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Who are you going to confess to? People. Hello? Including yourself. Hallelujah. He said, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Faith without corresponding action is dead. It can produce no result. You get that? Now, let me tell you another thing. It is impossible to have real faith, genuine faith, and do nothing. It is impossible to have what? Real faith and do nothing. So, for example, we're not Abraham. You know, if you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham is called the father of faith. Because the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Do you know how Abraham started? Read the story. God called him. It was not even Abraham. His name was Abraham. What's the name of Abraham? What's the name of Abraham? Do you know? Anybody? What's the name of Abraham? Say that again.
Exalted Father.
Exalted Father. But he had no child. Hallelujah. So he says, hey, Exalted Father, how are you today? I'm fine. No child. You know how Abraham's story started? Let me show you. Check your Bible. God called him and said, Abraham, I want you to leave where you are now with all your family, your parents, your business, you know, your house that you've already paid off the mortgage. Are you with me? Yeah? All the companies you've established in this land. And I want you to go to a place that I will show you. He didn't even tell him the location. Go to a place that I will what? Show you. Did Abraham believe God? Yes. Otherwise, we won't call him the father of faith. But how do we know he believed God? He set off. You know where he set off to? He set off to a place that God will show him. He didn't even know the place. He just started, packed all his things. Sarah, we are going. He told his dad, I'm sorry. Tell my junior brother to manage the business. This house, you know, he sold it off, everything. So I'm going. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know, but I'm just going to the place that God will show me. That's faith. Hallelujah. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. If you have faith and God is telling you something to do and you don't do it, you have compromised your faith. If you like fast, pray, cry, weep, do anything, go and see many prophets or many evangelists. You still have to do whatever God is telling you to do. Let me just say this, you know, to manage time. Because obviously I'm speaking off script, but that's okay. Let the Holy Spirit speak. From my personal experience, I find that any time I need a breakthrough and I'm using my faith, it's very important to be quiet and listen to what God is saying. There is always a specific instruction that God can give you about your specific situation. And I want to tell you something. God is never run out of business. God is always interested in speaking to you. You are the one that has never given him attention. It's an attention problem. It's not a speaking problem. God speaks so much that he wrote you a book that contains 66 books. See what I mean? God is speaking. Hallelujah. So when you need a breakthrough, you prayed about it, you believe that you are received, yeah? Begin to be quiet and begin to ask God, what do I need to do? Because whatever you need to do, God will not do it for you. Hello? For example, God will not bring me to church. I have to get on that car or bus or taxi and get here. That one, God will not do it. Sister Mary, in all the years you've been living, yeah? Has God ever helped you to cook your food? That's your own job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, God can give you the wisdom to cook it. Hallelujah. Anytime you need a breakthrough, you have to listen out to what God is saying. Hallelujah. And when God has spoken to you, you will be wise to obey what God is telling you to do. It may look like your bread is being broken into pieces. Do you see that? But if you follow, those pieces will be multiplied. And it will be left over. Hallelujah. So another way to say it is that faith without obedience is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. So, another definition of faith is acting on God's word. Hallelujah. You know you want a change in your life. And you believe that God can do it. I mean, how many of you believe that God can do it? God can do it. You see, everybody in church believes that God can do it. That's why they came. Hallelujah. Okay, let's take it to another thing gear. How many of you believe that God will do it? Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, you know. Yeah, again. So you can, 100% of people in church believe that God can do it. Maybe 75% or 50% believe that God will do it. Hallelujah. But that is not enough to give you results. Hallelujah. What gives you result is to begin to act as though God is doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you know why? God has provided anything you need to be anything he wants you to be. Hallelujah. It's a downloading problem. Hallelujah. It's a download from spirit to physical. Hallelujah. And it's your faith and obedience that ensures that that download is not aborted. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So don't ever miss the point. If you have faith and you do nothing, that faith is what? Dead. If you have faith and you are not taking action that God has told you to take in, that faith is what? Dead. Hallelujah. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Don't what? Forget that. If that's all I did, that's okay. Don't forget that. You can't say you have faith, true faith, and begin to act opposite. Imagine somebody say, I'm born again. then they continue to live like a sinner. Somebody met them, never knew them. Lived with them for 3 months. They have no idea that they are born again because their lifestyle is completely opposite. That faith is what? Dead. If they die like that, they are not going to heaven. Because faith without corresponding action is what? Is dead. Please don't forget that, very important. You see, you can, if you make the mistake and you think that it's all up to God and you have nothing to do, you miss the whole point of the Bible. In short, if you believe that, just put your Bible in the bin. If it's all up to God and you have nothing to do, bin your Bible. You don't need it. It's all up to God. You see what I mean? Why you need the Bible is that Bible reveals to you what you have to do. Hallelujah. And that's where your breakthrough lies. This is your breakthrough. Say, my Bible is my breakthrough. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just break it down for time. So there are two ways in which you will have corresponding action. Please, I'm teaching you something very important. You know, if I'm finishing a good message, I have to finish it well, strong. Two things, whatever the problem is, whatever. And I'll give you some example. This is how you can deal with it. Two things. What actions do you need to take? Firstly, say to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, turn to them. Even if it's your spouse, turn to them. Look at them like you mean it. Say, neighbor, do not be deceived. What you say matters a lot. Hallelujah. You would be wise to choose your words wisely. Let me show you from the Bible so you will know. Let's first go to what Jesus said. Matthew. Look at Matthew. Chapter 12. Verse 37. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Open to it. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. And one of the first basic action that will keep your faith alive is what you say. Matthew 12, 37. Yes, let's have someone else who has not read today read. Yes, anyone not read today? Matthew 12, 37. We are getting somewhere.
The words you say will either accrue.
Who is talking there?
Jesus.
My Lord and my King. I don't know about you. Jesus is what? My Lord and my King. I was the one that killed him. You know why? Because he died for my sins. I know you said it too. Did you realize that? Did he die for your sins? So you are the one that crucified him. So when people can say, oh, why are you so passionate about Jesus? I say, I killed him. I killed him, that's why. Now, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but I'm no longer living my own life. I don't have any right, neither do you, to live your own life. Because you have been bought. You do not have a right to live your own life. That's why Galatians 2:20 says, he said, this life I now live is not my life. I live by faith in the Son of God. My identity has changed now. Yeah? It's not my life I'm living. I'm living the life of Jesus. Because I was a slave to spiritual death. Then he died for me and bought me. I don't have the right now to live as I want to do. Neither do you. Hallelujah. Neither do you. But you have the right to live the life of the Son of God by faith. And that life, I tell you, is abundant. It has a lot of riches and glory in it. The devil offers to you something that is inferior. He paints it with all colors and makes it look nice. Perfumes it. It's nice. He's a deceiver. And if you spend all your life being deceived by Satan, I pity you. You never lived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please continue. Matthew 27.
The words you say will either acquit you.
The words you say will either justify you, yes?
Or condemn you.
Or condemn you. Look, let's just stop there. Get the principle. The words you say will either justify you or condemn you. Even, I know maybe you read the scripture and you thought that maybe just applies to going to heaven. No. Whenever you are looking for a breakthrough or a miracle, the words you say will either make it happen or compromise your faith. Hallelujah. You want healing. You say, oh, Sister, how you doing? You know, this sickness, my father had it. My great-grandfather had it. All my siblings, some have even died. It has become your identity. But you are believing God. You are believing God to heal you, yeah? But your words are destroying your faith. Hallelujah. He said, sister, how are you doing? I said, well, the Bible makes you understand by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The Bible makes you understand that the Holy Spirit is living in me. Romans 8 makes me understand that the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, it will quicken my mortal body. I believe. I believe that my body is responding to the power of God. I believe that I am healed. I believe that by this time next year, you will see me and I'll be old. Hallelujah. Those are the words of faith. You see, if you have nothing good to say, keep quiet. Now, I'm not saying you cannot acknowledge the facts. You know? It's like, also, you know, I gave the example. You know? It's like, well, I was not, you know. You know? You say, how are you today? Well, I'm not feeling so good. We understand that's your feeling. But don't keep lecturing us about your feeling forever. Because you are affirming them. You don't want to affirm your feelings, except you love them. Hello, are you listening to me? If you have a feeling that you love, affirm it all the time, and it will multiply. But if you have a feeling you don't love, yes, you can acknowledge it and mention it, but don't affirm it. Instead, affirm what the word of God says about that feeling. Let me give you an example. I'm feeling down. And anybody can feel down. I'm sure that everybody here has felt down at one point or the other. Am I saying the truth? Show of hands. Have you ever felt down in your life? If you've not, I would like to know you. Learn something nice from you. Hallelujah. What do I do when I'm feeling down? I can decide to, you know, put on a nice movie and watch a nice movie. Download language and violence and nudity into my life. Yeah? Burn 3 hours of my life away. I can do that. Just to feel a little bit better. I may feel better after the movie for 1 hour. Then I remember what was making me feel down. I'm down again. Yeah? I may decide, okay, I'm feeling down. You know what? Let me go to the pub and have a drink. So maybe it will just cool me down. But by the time you finish and you have a hangover, you wake up the next day, you still remember, what that's, you know, hallelujah. Or, I'm feeling down. But I can begin to say, look at what I say. This is my practical experience. I say the life of God is in me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God lives in me. Now, I don't know if you believe that, but that's what the Bible said. Hallelujah. I said the Spirit of God lives in me. Just imagine I keep saying that, and I keep saying that. Downness will find its way. I told you your feelings are not reliable. Your feelings are immature. Now, when the feelings are good, that's okay. But when they are not good, don't accept them. Speak the word of God. Speak it until it becomes your reality. Hallelujah. You speak that word until it becomes what? Your reality. Hallelujah. 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 That's how you put your words into action. Because faith without corresponding actions is dead. So if I'm feeling down, all I want to do is, God, lift me up. Lift me up. Lift me up. Lift me up. I pray. I will still remain down. You know why? Because God has already lifted me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has lifted me. You know where? You know how far he lifted me? He lifted me to sit at the right hand of the Father in heavenly place. The Bible says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly place. I'm lifted. That's where I am. Hallelujah. Now, of course, physically, I may not feel like that, but spiritually, that's where I am. So what do I do when I'm physically low? I tell myself, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am a child of God. If I just say that for 1 hour, I feel okay. Just to know that, what? I am located. I'm a child of God. I'm not just anybody. I'm not a disaster going to happen somewhere. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And I say, you know what? I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. When I speak like that, it gradually becomes my reality. That's why the Bible says that the word of God is the sword of the spirit. Are you listening to me? If you are going to overcome in this life, you need to wield that sword. And how will you wield the sword of the spirit? What you say matters a lot. Hallelujah. Give an example. Maybe you're having a difficult child, a difficult colleague, a difficult boss, a difficult family member, a difficult neighbor, a difficult whatever. Yeah? What are you going to do? You have two options. You may decide to complain and criticize all day and all night. It will not change your situation. You may achieve a little. You know, you may complain and criticize until you manipulate someone to change a little. But that's the best you achieve. Are you with me? If you keep complaining, even about the government, you may have a government you don't like. But if you are going to live a life of faith, you can't afford to spend your whole time complaining and criticizing the government. It will not move your own life forward. Are you with me? If you like complain and criticize your pastor, you are just wasting your time. Complain that you criticize your church. You criticize your pastor, you criticize your boss, you criticize your colleagues, you criticize your children, you criticize your parents, you criticize your neighbor, you criticize everything. Even when you go to shop and you don't like the clothes you bought, you criticize the shopping people. Are you with me? Now we not move you forward. Hallelujah. That's one way to use your mouth. You complain and criticize. But what happens to you is that when you do that, it compromises your faith. That faith you've been trying to exercise is compromised. Hallelujah. But you can decide that even despite all the, you know, things around you that you don't like. You see, your job is to, you are not supposed to live on the level of this world. You are supposed to soar like the eagle's wing. So you see the situation, but you begin to speak the word of God into it. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give an example. Let's give some practical examples. Let's assume, for example, that I want to get married. And I can also use another example. I want children. I want to get married. You know how we start? Yeah? I really desire to get married. You know what I will do? I will check the Bible. Genesis chapter, is it 1 or 2? You know what he said? He said, it is not good for man to be what? So first I thank you because it is not good. It's the word. It cannot be broken. It is not good for me to be alone. You see, I've already started on the right foundation. Hallelujah. So, Father, thank you. Because my life partner is coming my way. You will speak them into your life. They will come. By the time they come, you can't even miss them because you already spoke them. You will know them. The day you saw them, yes. If they are not around you, you will, as you speak, they will come. If I'm living in basis, and I need a right partner, yeah? I will speak it. They may be living in Glasgow. Something will move them. Hallelujah. I create that solution with my mouth. Hallelujah. Let's do one more and then we'll run. So your words matter a lot. Okay? Remember that. So don't just sit back, pray, grumble, complain. Speak! Speak the word of God. Find out anything. Look, open your Bible before we go to actions. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. I hope that's the one. Is it 1 or 11? It may be 11. And just check that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. Or 11. Let's see. Let me see whether it's 11. Is it 1? Anybody needs to confirm with me. Is it 1? Are you sure it's not 1? I've checked 11. It's not 11. No, it's not 1. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians. I'll find it. Just bear with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Yes? Where's the mic? Yes, thank you. You can as well read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Look at what God is saying to you now. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. With a resounding what? Yeah. Ah, I don't know if you know what God is telling you there. I know. You know what it means? It means that any promise about your life that God has put in this word, yeah, is confirmed. God does not change his mind. It's confirmed. Hallelujah. If you can find it in the word, yeah, you can claim it for your life, provided it's godly and it brings glory to the Father. Hallelujah. You must approach it with that confidence. Hallelujah. Your life, you see, that's the difference between a servant and a son. You see, before Jesus Christ came, the people that believed were servants of God. Even Abraham, the father of faith, is what? A servant of God. But when we are born again, yeah? John 1:12 says, as many as received him, he gave them what? The right, the power to become what? The sons of God. A son will not approach prayer begging. Now, I know my children tell me, you know, actually, normally they tell me, Daddy, can I have this? And I say, put please. I keep telling them to put please. The please there is not begging. It's just politeness. Yes. Hallelujah. A begging prayer is, oh God, you know I don't deserve this, but you know. And I've been begging you. I begged you yesterday. I begged you the day before. God, what have I done? Just have mercy. That's begging. You're approaching like a servant. Hallelujah. But sonship is based on the word. If he has given it, it is settled. So this I like to approach prayer. Father, I thank you because your word said in Genesis chapter 2 that it is not good for man to be alone. It's a good start of the discussion. Hallelujah. If I need a child, I go and look for the scripture that says that for the Israelites. He said, none shall be barren in the land. None. I know from Bible records, we have only one woman that was barren. And we know why. I mean, I'm talking of in terms of the children of Israel. Only one ended up barren and died like that. All of us who were barren had children. Only one. And that was Saul's daughter. And because she sinned, you understand? Hallelujah. She despised David when David was praising God. Otherwise, none was barren in the land. I said, Father, thank you. Why should I be fasting and praying to say, God, give me child? He said, none shall be what? Barren in the land. Oh, if that one is not enough. You know, sometimes one scripture is not enough. So find another one. Genesis chapter 1 says, and God blessed them. And said what? Be fruitful and what? Hey. I said, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, because I'm fruitful. Hallelujah. Even if there's no womb, he will create it. He created me anyway. He created me. Don't want to see it. He will create it. Hallelujah. With God, all the promises of God are yes. They are what? Yes. Okay, let me see what I can do in 5 minutes. And round up. So we talked about words. Very important. But let's talk about one more thing you need to know. So say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, do not be deceived. What you do matters a lot. Open your Bible to Hallelujah. And see what I do to manage time. Romans chapter 2, verse 6. Let's just pick that. So your confession matters, but what you do matters. Like I keep telling you, the problem is not on God's side. God has done his part. All his promises are yes. So you would be wise to begin to pay attention to your own part. Amen. That's why it says, take responsibility. He told Adam, take charge. Say to your demon, say, take charge. Come on, say that again. Say, take charge with your mouth. Hallelujah. Romans 2:6, let's have it. So let's say that is the second, and we open one more place. Romans 2:6. I want to open to you some verse 6:6 in the Bible that mean a lot. Romans 2:6 first. Is everyone guys having all the blessing today? That's a triple portion blessing for you.
It will judge everyone according to what they have done.
Okay, let's have it another way, because I know when you see the word judge, you begin to get afraid. Another version. Romans 2:6, another version.
God will repay.
He will do what?
Will repay.
He will repay. Yeah, everyone. Another version. Just that gives another word. Wait. Yes, thank you. Give me that one. Read it very well from the beginning.
Who will render to everyone?
He will render
every man according to his deeds.
According to what? I don't know if you understand. Even when I read Revelation, just said, I'm coming quickly. And I'm going to give everyone according to their deed. So they said, he that is faithful, continue to be faithful. And if you are unfaithful, continue. Because you will get exactly what you sow. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. I won't open for time. He said, don't be deceived. Say to your neighbor, say, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows. Say it. We are reading Galatians chapter 5 verse 6. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. It's a law. In fact, to me, I can even tell you that it's the most important law in the Bible. From the man point of view. Whatever you sow, that you will what? Reap. If you can just understand that, your life will be 10 times better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. Like I said before, the key to your breakthrough is connected to what God is telling you to do. You would be wise to obey what God is telling you. The moment you choose not to, you have become smarter than God. Not wiser, but what? Smarter. The moment, anytime you choose not to obey God, you are eating from the tree of knowledge. The tree, which is the tree of smartness. See what I mean? The tree of knowledge is the tree of going my own way and doing it my own way. Hallelujah. Now, every time I want to do it my own way is because I stop trusting God. I stop trusting that God has my best interest at heart. I trust, that's the main issue, really. I start doubting that maybe God wants to cheat me. That's why I go my own way. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, one more scripture and we round up there. So remember that God will repay you according to your deeds. So that's why your actions have to correspond to your faith. If you believe, you got to live like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you got to live like a Christian. There's no other choice. Otherwise, that faith is dead. It's just an empty talk. Nonsense talk. You understand? If you believe in God for something, and you believe that you have received it, you got to begin to take actions that correspond to that belief. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, for example, when I decided that I'm traveling to the UK, I knew that I have to go to the embassy and get what? If I like, let me pray from now, the kingdom come. No visa, no travel. Hallelujah. You got to take corresponding actions. And because you have the Holy Spirit in you, he will be given to give you, if you are ready. If you are not ready, you won't talk. God is not a talkative. God talks all the time, but he's not what? A talkative. But if you are ready, the reason why you are not hearing God is because you are not ready for him. You are not giving him attention. So why should he waste his voice? Do you understand? But when you say, God, I'm ready, and your heart is open, he will start giving you simple instruction. Those simple instructions will give you an uncommon breakthrough. People will not understand how you came across it. They don't need to understand. You downloaded it from heaven. Hallelujah. The solution to every problem is in God. But for you to experience that, you have to connect through your faith. And faith without corresponding action is what? Is dead. Okay, so let's round up there. Let me see if there's something I should say. Hallelujah. I think let's round up there. So two things I need to say now. Your corresponding actions, the two words that can define, in terms of your words, the word that defines it is your confession, what you say. Write it down. It matters. Your confession matters. Then in terms of what you do, the two words that describe it is obedience and compassion. Hallelujah. You want God to help you and sort your life out, but you are very mean to people. Your faith is compromised. You want God to do something good in your life, but you are stingy and conventions. In fact, the word I want to use here, mean. You understand? How can you be, you have your fellow brother there, but or your neighbor, you are mean to them. But you want God to move you forward. You are wasting your time. Hallelujah. Your actions must correspond with your faith. Hallelujah. When you need a breakthrough, that's not the time to pick a fight with everybody. You can do it when you don't need a breakthrough, yeah? But when you need a breakthrough, yeah? That's not the time to fight every single person. Are you with me? The words are obedience and compassion. And we did the own fellowship, said, faith works by love. Hallelujah. So sometimes the reason why your faith is not working is because you're not walking in love towards your fellow people. Let us pray. Let us pray. I believe that God has spoken to you in the way you need it. I mean, I could continue to talk on this message for another 1 hour. But that's not what matters. What matters is that you have received what God is saying. And there's no situation excluded, please. There is absolutely no situation excluded. All your situations is covered in God. All your problems are covered in God. The challenges of your life, they are covered in God. In so long you begin to back up your faith with corresponding actions, that faith will produce the right results. So why don't you talk to God and say, I believe that a good way to respond to me is to repent and say, Father, I'm sorry for all the times I've spoken careless words about my life. Imagine somebody saying I will never amount to anything good. It's a curse. Repent. You know, if you have been living a stingy life, selfish, proud, covetous, repent of it. Humble yourself before God and say, Father, I come to you today and I say, in terms of my confession, what I say, you know, sometimes you may be agitated. If you're agitated, you know what you need to do? Just don't say anything. Take a walk. But don't open your mouth and speak evil to your life because you're agitated. You know, it's better not to say anything. Just take a walk. So today, say, Father, I will dedicate myself to speak words of faith and to do deeds of obedience and compassion. Words of faith, deeds of obedience and compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you for spending time with me today, with God.